verse 19, Jesus tells us that we see Jesus by living the way that he lived. Yet a little while and the world will see me no more, but you will see me because I live, you also will live. We're talking about faith again. This is a new way of living. Christians live like Jesus lived. And you have to realize Jesus lived by faith. He didn't worry about what was happening next. He just lived one day at a time, and he did what was set in front of him. And he sought the Father's will. We need to realize there is a higher power involved in all this. He's a higher power involved in our life and our ministry to Christ. Jesus was miraculously born of a young woman named Mary. He grew to term inside her in a normal way, even though she was a virgin. He was brought into the world in Bethlehem of humble means, even though angels announced his birth. He was raised by a young man named Joseph and grew to manhood being a carpenter. Inspiration tells us that although Jesus was human, as you and I are human, he was 100% God. It's a miracle, isn't it? In Colossians 1, verses 15 through 20, Paul the Apostle describes Jesus this way. He said, he is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For by him all things were created in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities. All things were created through him and for him, and he is before all things, and in him all things hold together. And he is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in everything he might be preeminent. For in him all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven, making peace by the blood of his cross. I get the idea that it's Jesus everywhere. It's Jesus that's everything, isn't it? He's the main thing. He is the thing. It's Jesus who was God in the flesh. And he's dignified us by being in the flesh. Lest we forget what this passage reveals about Jesus, let's list it. He was in the image of the invisible God. He is the creator of all that has ever been created. Everything was made by him and everything was made for him. He is the sustainer of everything we knew, all of creation. It holds together because of him. He is the head of his body, which is the church. He is the firstborn from the dead. All the saved will follow him. Paul sums it up by saying, for in him the fullness of God was pleased to dwell. Jesus is the God who created this world in the first place. All this is important for our faith. And he's the one who God said in the beginning, this is very good, when he created the world. He's the owner of the world. It is the world that we humans have messed up so very much, isn't it? But Jesus lived in a way that fulfilled God's plan for him. It was a part of God's plan from the beginning, before he ever created a thing, that Jesus come. And Jesus wasn't worried about the plan. The plan had been worked out. He just lived one day at a time. I think he's trying to tell us something, don't you? He followed God's will in everything he did. He began his ministry, as is recorded in Matthew, Mark, John, and Luke. He had nothing to prove, but he did verify who he was by what he did. He healed the sick. He brought food into existence before the very eyes of thousands of people. He calmed storms. He raised the dead. And finally, he faced God's wrath, having proved who he was, and the ultimate proof of his power and his victory over sin and death was through his resurrection from the dead and his ascension back into heaven in a resurrected human body. Notice that Jesus left the big planning up to his Father. You say, well, he knew what the plan was. Yes, but as a human, he left it up to the Father, didn't he? How many times did he say, it's not what I say, but what he tells me to say? He lived God's plan one day at a time, taking care to represent the Father in every single thing that he did. Brethren, he declared a way that we need to live that way too. This new way of living by faith, God makes the big decisions and we carry them out by daily living for God. There are some people, I'm afraid, that think that they're in charge of their life and we're going to just put God in on my side. And that's wrong. It would mess things up. We get to be a part of God's side, don't we? God is our creator. We have entered into his kingdom to facilitate his plan one day at a time by living like Jesus lived while in human form. That which distinguishes you and me from the world is that we see this plan as being superior to anyone we might think up on our own. We see Jesus. Secondly, Jesus said we have fellowship with the Father living in Jesus. In verse 20, look at verse 20 again. In that day you will know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. Sounds like fellowship to me, doesn't it, you? Having entered the kingdom of heaven, we have fellowship with God established for us by Jesus. In reviewing our conversion to Jesus, we need to remember what the Apostle Paul taught Romans in Romans 6 and in Colossians 2 about it. We became Christians by obeying the commandment of Jesus to be baptized. Baptism is an appeal to God for salvation. It is a passive act of faith on our part, but an active operation by God spiritually on his part. Through baptism, we are united with God in the death of Christ. That means we die. We are baptized into the death of Christ. There is no new life without the death to an old life. And we are united to the death of Christ, which paid the penalty for our sins. With this beginning in the death of Christ, Christians begin the new life, lived for God by faith. We've seen Jesus, therefore we have embraced his invitation to come back to God. Paul said in Romans 6, verse 11, after we were baptized, he said, so you must consider yourselves dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. We now live the way Paul described himself as living in Galatians 2, verse 20. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself up for me. Jesus lived his life day by day, fulfilling God's will every day in order to fulfill the purpose that God had for his life. We live in the self-same way. What does it say in Hebrews? Let us run with patience the course that is set before us. Just as Christ lived his life to fulfill God's purpose, we live for God to fulfill his purpose. God has a purpose for my life. God has a purpose for your life. But our individual lives have a part in God's big plan to live according to the part of God's eternal will. It is an honor that God has bestowed on us to become a part of the big plan. We become an active part of God's purpose. We fulfill the destiny as the creation of God. We honor our Creator as we serve His will. We have some teachers that teach the little bitty kids in the nursery department. Patsy has left her fingerprints on I don't know how many kids, teaching the 1 and 2 year olds. Can God use her fingerprints to do His will? You better believe He can. And He does. We honor our Creator by serving His will, whatever it is that we do and wherever we are. In this fellowship, it is a fellowship that involves the Father, it involves the Son, and it involves the Holy Spirit. Together with us, you and I, who are His creation, doing what we're created to do. We have been redeemed by Christ from the wayward waves which ignored God's will in the past. We have been restored by Christ to become once again a part of the purpose of God. We have been saved by Christ from death, now to be involved in eternal life together with the eternal Father. Jesus lived by faith every day, and this calls upon us to live day by day by faith. But the choice is, do I follow my will or do I follow God's will? One of our problems is we keep getting in the way, don't we? If we follow God's will, the first step we take is to die. And we die to self. We die to the flesh. Remember Romans 6 and Colossians 2. Our choice must become spiritual choices involved in doing God's will every single day. It's not a Sunday activity, Christianity. Sunday's the day we get to let our hair down and praise God. Take care not to become enticed by Satan into believing that God has invited Himself into our life. No, God has invited us into His life. If God invited Himself into our life, it would be terminal life, wouldn't it? Because that's what we deserve. His life is eternal. He's invited us into that life, in the body of Christ, which is the church. Our life is temporary because of the consequences of our own sins. God's life is eternal because of the righteousness of Christ. Our life can only be lived in a world of sin and death. God's life is lived by faith in Christ, whose life is and always has been eternal. We need to be very careful not to be tricked out of the real life back into the temporary life of the flesh. You don't add a little Jesus to your life. We must be converted to Christ and live by faith in Him. Jesus is Lord. You and I are servants. And it works best that way because God is our Creator. We were created to serve. And you find your fulfillment there. Lastly, by loving Jesus, He shows Himself to us. Whoever has my commandments, verse 21 says, and keeps them, he it is who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him. Not only do we see Jesus, not only do we have fellowship with God in Christ, we have grown to love Jesus, who has manifested Himself to us. We know Him and we are known by Him. You see, Jesus has disarmed our enemies. Paul says it this way, and you who were dead in your trespass and the uncircumcision of your flesh, God made alive together with Him, having forgiven us all our trespasses by concealing the record of debts that stood against us with its legal demands. This He set aside, nailing it to the cross. He disarmed the rulers and the authorities and put them to open shame by triumphing over them in Him. Colossians 2, 13 through 15. You have to love God because we recognize the love that he has demonstrated for us. Now, what made Jesus go to the cross? And how many men went with him? Zero. The only reason he went ahead and went anyway is because he loves us. And you've got to love him back for that, don't you? I think we do. I love the little boys who lead prayers, who say in their prayer unashamedly, "Father, we love you." Don't you love hearing that? You know who else I think likes to hear it? I think God likes to hear it. Our response to God's great love is a love all our own. And this love demonstrates itself by our desire to keep the commandments of Christ. We don't keep the commandments of Christ to be saved. Christ has saved us in order that we might give ourselves to doing what's right. Jesus did not feel it demeaning, even though he was the Son of God, to wash his disciples' feet. And you and I do not fear humbling ourselves to serve the needs of others, because that is what our Lord did. When the Bible says, consider the needs of others above your own needs, we don't find that difficult because we have the example of Christ. We consider it an honor to love others the way Jesus loved us. And by doing so, John says, we make God's love complete. Brethren, I believe that you and I have grown to know Jesus just as we are known by him. As Jesus told us about the Father's commandments, they're not grievous, are they? And Christians have found that it is not a burden to keep the will of God. It is a blessing to my life and the lives of others if I do. Amen? And we've learned that life in Christ is so much better than any other kind of living. Satan has come to muddy the waters by telling us that our physical life is not worth living. It is so terrible, it needs to die. It needs to be punished. That's Satan talking. Again, we need to guard ourselves against the deception of Satan. Yes, we died to the flesh. In our conversion, not to destroy the flesh, but to save it, to give God the control and to infuse it with his life-giving spirit. And brethren, there is coming a day when even that body that we died to will be resurrected and enter into glory. We serve Jesus, and we live for him, and we've become a part of his body, which is the church, and that's a body that will never die. But Jesus is still in a fleshly body. Only he's been raised from the dead to have a new, perfect body, which is worthy to sit at the right hand of the Father in heaven. Right? Jesus is in a body like you're going to have at the right hand of the Father. You want to live up there with God? I do, don't you? That's what Jesus has in store for us, if we'll keep and allow God to fulfill his plan. When we see Jesus' life, we become a part of it in fellowship with his Father and his Spirit, and we come to love God all the more. And our desire is to do his will in obedience to Christ's will. Then we will know Jesus and we'll be known by him. I remember being in an airport in New York one time on one of our mission trips. I didn't know anyone in that busy airport, and it was one busy airport. Now, if I was in an airport in New York and many strangers around me, and Irvis Coggan walked up, what do you suppose would happen? Irvis, you're not here. We can talk about you. What do you suppose would happen? I'll tell you what had happened. I'd grab old Irvis's hand. I'd probably hug his old ugly neck. I'd be so glad to see him. and to rejoice at the sight of him. Do you not know how we would act this way in a crowd? You know why? Because we're friends, right? Because we are beloved friends. Because we know each other. And because we love each other. And because we're brothers in Christ together. On the day of judgment, there are only two things Jesus will say to each and every one of us. One of them is, "Well done." And the other is, "I never knew you." The way we live and the faith we enjoy determines which. If you need to come to Christ, would you come?